Well, I hope you guard your personal information better than that. But we're going to be talking about be the guardian and how God has called every one of us to be the guardian of certain things in our lives and how God wants to work. Perry, that was a really creepy look, just so you know. The scripture says, guard what God has entrusted to you. Guard what God has entrusted to you. We're going to hear all about 1 and 2 Timothy. I wasn't sure I was going to go into 2, but I think I can do that. And so it'll be about 10 weeks. And so each week you have a chapter to read. If I caught you off guard this week, then read chapter 2 as many times as possible so you'll be ready for next week. That's going to be an important part. Because I can give you what God speaks to me, but I can't give you what God speaks to you. You have to do that yourself. And so that's why I encourage you to make sure you're going to read chapter 2 for the coming week. You could read it multiple times. It only takes a couple minutes for you to be able to read it. You could read it every day. You will be amazed what God will give to you that's even different than what I can give you. And so that's, the good news of the gospel and how God wants to work through that. So we're looking at chapter 1 this week. I'm going to try to give you an overview of Timothy and his relationship as we would look at that with Paul and what that means. The scripture taken from this 1 Timothy, cling to your faith in Christ, keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. No more clearly stated than the song we sang today in worship, the importance of making sure we keep our conscience clear and a right relationship with God. Because that's going to help make that kind of difference that's going to keep you open to hear his voice and be able to follow his will. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning, help us to hear your voice, not mine, in Christ's name, amen. There are a number of things. I have to tell you very personally that I don't even know how many times over the years I've read 1 and 2 Timothy. Some of those, and especially in the New Testament, I have read so many times because I read scripture every day. And so if you add that up over all these years, you really start to have a grasp. But I have a new appreciation for Timothy as I was doing some background study on him. So I hope this does the same for you as we're looking at it. I always thought Timothy, okay. He was a little fearful. Paul had to encourage him. So I thought, okay, I get that. And I kind of was making an opinion. He was young. I knew that. Because, you know, Paul said, don't let anybody look down on you for your youth. And so those kinds of things stuck in my mind. But doing the background study really helped me understand more. Paul, the spiritual guardian to Timothy. Now, Paul is a spiritual guardian to Timothy. And I'm challenging you to be thinking about this. If you are new in your faith, you need to find a guardian. If you are older in your faith, and I don't mean age, you need to have a mentee that you're working with. So I'm challenging you to think about this and pray about it. Because if you've been serving God, let's say a couple years, that doesn't have to be a long time, but you feel grounded in God's word. I will say to me, you know, I got away from God when I grew up in the church, someplace around 12 years old, and then till 22, I was absent spiritually and lived kind of the party life all the way through that time. When I came to Christ, people would say to me, wow, you're really growing fast. Part of the reason was I had a good foundation early, even though I had ignored it. And the other part, I was so hungry to know more. And I dove into scripture every day and lots, trying to understand and wanting to know as much as I could. And so all of that helped me to grow. And so I grew spiritually faster than some people who had been in the church for many, many years. Why? Because they just came on Sunday, they listened and went home. They didn't dig into it. I started a Bible study shortly after with teachers that I taught with in public school because I was hungry for them to know. I became a mentor to those who had really not had followed God longer, but didn't have that same passion, but tried to help create that. Now, I'm telling you all this, not to do me, but to say, you need to make sure this is a part of your life. So who are you mentoring, or who is mentoring you? Because I think that's important. Paul says, I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. So a guardian is this. When we look at a guardian is a defender, a protector, or a keeper. That's what the dictionary tells us, a defender, a protector, a keeper. And so when I'm telling you that you need to be a guardian, I don't care where you are in your spiritual journey, you need to be a guardian of your faith, you need to defend it, but if you don't know it well enough, how can you? You need to protect it, what are you protecting? And you need to keep it. So those are all parts of how God wants to work through your life. Now, Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy. So he was the spiritual father of Timothy. The mentor-mentee relationship began very early. Timothy was only about 17. I just never realized this. He was only about 17 when Paul looked in him and saw something good that God was going to do. I've had people like that in my life also, that have seen something in me and have said, God's going to use your life. And I thought, God's going to work through your life. I'm like, wow, okay. I've had those kinds of things. I've had people say, you know, you're a real Barnabas. You are an encourager. You do. And so I started to see things basically because others around me were looking into me and encouraging that. That's what we need. And so that's why I'm asking, who are you encouraging? Who are you touching their life? Paul made a significant difference because he reached out. Timothy was from Lystra, which was with a mother and a grandmother who taught him the Old Testament scriptures. Paul visited their hometown and met Timothy and his family. We know his mother was a Jew and his grandmother. We know his father was Greek. Now, in that culture, remember, to be Jewish, you have to have a Jewish mother. Still true. So to be Jewish, you have to have a Jewish mother. And so as that continued, we see that it seems that according to the way the scripture is written, his father died, because they use the pronouns not to describe the present situation. It's more of a past. And so we realize that really Timothy was really kind of nurtured and grown by a single mom. So important to understand how God worked through this. Timothy had an excellent reputation. That's what Paul saw. He already saw he'd been really hungry after following God. And so Paul wanted to take him along on his journey, Acts 16. Paul began equipping Timothy and engaging him in ministry. Acts 17 tells us this in Berea. Timothy worked with Paul and witnessed Paul's passion and his practices of ministry. And so Timothy was looking up to Paul. He was seeing God in him, seeing God working, and then starting to pull in, you know, the information. There's just something about having somebody with skin on it that you see God in them, and you can see God working through them, and it kind of resonates inside of you to say, huh, yeah, that's it. And I would like that, and I want to see that. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. So as long as we have to realize that's a pretty intimidating thing. Are you willing for people to follow you and do what you do? So that's what Paul was saying. Now he said, as long as I follow Christ. And so for you to know if your mentor is staying on target, you have to know the word yourself also. So you can be able to make sure you're following. Timothy helped establish churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. So he was all a part of helping Paul do this and helping that come to pass. Pretty exciting, pretty good things that were taking place. Timothy carried money from the Philippian church to Paul for his needs in Corinth. That was one of the things. So he was trusted in his integrity to make sure that could be able to happen. Paul was in prison for 2 years in Rome, and Timothy stayed with him. He ministered to him and nurtured him. Oftentimes at that point, he was in prison, at least in this instance, was more like an ankle bracelet. He had to stay in the house. Like, you know, they didn't really have ankle bracelets, so you not hear me say that. But, okay, so you kind of like an ankle bracelet, right? That came later. But anyway, he had to stay in the house, and so he was restricted in that, but he could have those come in. So Timothy was one of those who would come in, hear the stories, hear what he had to do, and then go out and fulfill that and carry that on. But he was so committed to him, he stayed with him for the 2 years, setting aside his own desire, his own passion, his own whatever priorities, just to be able to minister. Pretty impressive. Timothy was with Paul for 13 years, until about the age of 30. When Paul was released, they visited churches and stopped at Ephesus. This is the last stopping point for Timothy, because Paul charged Timothy with the work at Ephesus, and this is where he wrote his first letter to Timothy. Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy in 64 AD. So 1 Timothy came around about that time. So that helps us to be able to put it in perspective and what's taking place. Now, six of Paul's letters include Timothy in his greetings. So it tells you what a primary player he was. You know, oftentimes we think of Paul and Barnabas. You know, we think about, those kind, but we don't think about Paul and Timothy as much, but we should, because he was a pretty hefty player in all this. Paul's last dying wish was written to Timothy in his second letter, 67 AD. About 3 years later, he wrote another letter to Timothy and saying his last dying wish to him. According to Fox Book of Martyrs, Timothy remained at Ephesus for 33 years. Timothy was violently beaten by a wild mob of partygoers who were angry from Timothy's rebuke for their immoral behavior. He died 2 days later. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us. So as we look at, we kind of think that when Timothy was about 17, Paul was about 30 years his senior. So we're thinking that's about the, looking at those, maybe 47 and looking at 17. And so we're trying to kind of put that in perspective. Hopefully that gives you a good background to everything Paul was saying to Timothy in these two letters, and it'll help you have a fresh mind in thinking about it as you go through. Paul's dying words, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have remained faithful." So let's look. Guard the priorities of your faith. Guard the priorities of your faith. An important part for every one of us. And when we say be the guardian, and we try to look at that, we want to make sure that you're understanding there are certain priorities that you need to hold fast. You need to be strong about. You need to be not willing to move. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with the love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. So the highest priority is to live a life of faith in God. That's our first priority. Don't get sidetracked on other things. Make that your highest priority. I want to be known as a person of faith, one who believes, one who's known by God working in my life. The goal is that love would be seen in all we would do. So people would be able to say, the love of God is in them. I see that. We need to make sure if I'm going to guard my faith, it's going to be evidenced by how I love people. And people need to see that love. They need to be aware of it. And so we have to be so conscious of it, each one of us, about how do you love people? How do you let them know of God's love for them? How do you demonstrate that in your life? Do they look to you to see that? As you're following Christ, are they seeing that happen in your life? Maintain a pure heart in all your dealings. You know, so it's so easy to become self-deceived. Scripture warns against it so many times. Why? Because we become pretty complacent in ourselves. We become pretty confident in ourselves. God is calling us in our relationship to continue to make sure our heart stays pure. And so that's like with an active relationship. When God is speaking to you about something you need to do, do it. When you hold on to it and don't do it, it becomes sin. So God is calling us, and you can't have a pure heart and have sin in your life at the same time. You've got to make sure you're making certain decisions, ruling some things out of your life, putting some things in your life to make sure your heart stays pure. It's just an absolute requirement. He talks about this, about our shipwrecking their faith, and how did that happen? Because they weren't guarding their heart. The fact is, we operate with a clear conscience. So he said, a pure heart and a clear conscience. I know that there is nothing between me and anyone that cannot really, that would hinder me in my relationship. Now, I'm not saying you have to like everybody. There's just some people that aren't very likable. Come on, you know it's true. And so there are some people in your world that you go, oh, here they come again. And you duck behind a counter or around the thing when you see them out in public. Yeah, I know. But you've got to love people. And so loving people may mean something very different. It means you treat them with respect. It means you treat them with honor. It means you treat them in a loving manner. There is no place for two Christians to go out separate doors because they can't talk to each other. Do you hear me? There's no place for Christians not to be able to talk to each other. That's not reasonable, because we need to have a clear conscience. If you've done something, then you need to go to them and get it fixed. And if somebody's done something to you, God calls us to be able to reconcile. Now, I'm not saying you're going to let them hurt you again. There's a way to put boundaries, and there's a way to make sure that you're protecting yourself. You know, just because when you've been burned once, you're not going to put your hand on that stove again. You're going to be careful. And I think that's all biblical. But you still need to not have a relationship that is so broken that you cannot talk to people. Something's wrong. You're not going to keep a clear conscience. I promise you, it's not going to be a clear conscience. And that leads you to potential shipwrecking your faith. That's what he tells us. Keep a genuine faith that is evidence to all. Keep a genuine faith. And so that means faith is like a muscle. So you're going to continue to increase it, and you're going to continue to work it. Start with, if you think your faith is weak, start with something bite-sized, something small that you can ask God to do, that you can talk about. Say, Lord, I really need your help in something. And then when it happens, go, wow, thank you, God. That muscle's getting stronger. I think I can tackle something bigger. Don't start with something huge. Let's say you're praying for someone to come to faith, and they're way, way out there. So how should you start? Pray that you'll have a simple opportunity just to talk about God. Not to necessarily tell them they need to be saved or they're lost or turn or burn or something like that. No, just pray for a simple opportunity. And maybe it's not even you. Maybe it's somebody else. So you start with something bite-sized. Then you build and you get bigger so you can believe that God can be able to do this. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with the worst sinners. Then others will realize they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. So your life impacts other lives. How you lived your example then makes the difference of how others see Christ. You hear that so often. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want anything to do with it. How many of you heard that line? Yeah. Why? Because people are not regarding themselves as an example of Christ. Whenever I hear that, I say, let me apologize to you for the way they lived. That's not a Christian. That's not how Christians live. And I'm sorry that you were hurt by that. First thing I do. Because that's not my intent. That's not how I want to live. And that's not what I want people to see in me. And so we have to be determined. God commissions each of us to be the guardian. So each of us have this responsibility. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve. Think about it. God calls each one of us to serve in ministry. That's an important part. There is no place where we are not to be serving. Let me say this. There's no retirement from ministry. Got it? No retirement from ministry. Doesn't mean that we don't change in how we do ministry, but we never stop ministering. That's an important part that we need to make sure we continue to keep in our lives. So, Fred Swanger, right there. Fred, stand up just a moment. You can say happy birthday to Fred. He's 80. Thank you, Fred. He was our greeter this morning, and I said, wow, I don't know what you're eating and drinking, but I want some of it. He's a good, strong 80. He's like Joshua there. The fact is, there's no retirement, right, Fred? No retirement from ministry. God calls us to continue to minister in our life. God equips each of us with strength to serve in ministry. So he gives us the strength to do what you're called to do. So you don't ever stop, and you don't ever have to say, oh, I'm getting too old to do. No. If God calls you, he's going to equip you. Simple as it gets. The fact is, the ministry is his and not ours. Keep that focus. It's always his, not mine. And so this is his church. This is his work. This is his message. It's his. It's not mine. The fact is, God's grace is greater than our past. So don't think, you don't know what I've done in my life. I can't do that. No. God's grace is greater than our past, and he will use us as he sees fit. So make yourself available and know that. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. Paul talks about that as well. Some have shipwrecked their faith. And how did that happen? The scripture says, avoid endless discussion, debates, and pride in your spiritual heritage. Sometimes people get into these things way too much. And it takes it off track from what it's really supposed to be doing. I hear Christians fighting over what Christians think Christians should do. What kind of a witness is that to the world? I see this on Facebook all the time. Does anybody have any unbelievers on your Facebook group? I do. I intentionally keep them on. Some people are offended by their language and they delete them. And that's okay. If you're offended and you want to do that, I don't. And I don't for a reason, because I consider myself to be a witness for Christ. I put scripture out every day. I make sure that I am trying to be a testimony. I try to live my life. I share funny things or whatever. But I want to make sure I'm not caught up in all of this that distracts people from the gospel. I want to make sure, because many have shipwrecked their faith. And I think they shipwreck the faith of others. I just think we have to be careful, folks. You have to be careful what you rant about as well, and your political opinions. How many people have ever been changed by your rants? I think they've been turned off, but I don't think they've been changed. No, I want to make people changed by my life in Christ. Amen? Yeah. And so, Paul said this to Timothy. Here's what's happening, guys. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths, spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life in God. Avoid getting lost in your own self-interest and insincere faith. Don't get lost in this. Keep focused. Be a guardian. Make sure you're intentional about this. The whole point, I took this from the message because I thought this kind of brings a jolt to this passage. The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love, uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life open to God. Those who fail to keep to this point soon wander off into the cul-de-sac of gossip. That's kind of that round, coming around and around. They set themselves as experts on religious issues, but haven't the remotest idea of what they're holding forth with such imposing eloquence. Great, great. I don't always like the way the message takes everything, but I thought this was really excellent, and the next one as well. Avoid conversations that are destructive rather than building one another up. So stay away from those. You hear them. You know when it starts to happen. You hear people talk. You hear those things. Stay away from those conversations. Just say, you know, I think I'm out of this one. And back out. Get out of it. Don't continue to be a part of it when it's starting to tear people down and drag people down. Stay out of those things. The fact is, it's true that moral guidance and counsel need to be given, but the way you say it, and to whom you say it are as important as what you say. If you could underline anything, that's a great place to underline. The way you say it and to whom you say it is as important as what you say. Because we get lost in those things. It's obvious, isn't it, that the law code isn't primarily for people who live responsibly, but the irresponsible who defy all authority, riding roughshod over God, life, sex, truth, whatever. They are contemptuous of the great message I've been put in charge of by this great God. Avoid anything that would soil a clear conscience before God. If it's going to soil your conscience, avoid it. Stay away from it. It's not going to help you. It's going to destroy. Cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. Some of them don't even have a conscience. They can say things with no feeling of guilt at all. And I think, wow, how far have you gone that you could be able to get to that point? As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. Paul's not afraid to point them out. We would probably have liability lawsuits in our culture. But we see the importance here. So be the guardian. Be the guardian. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles, cling to your faith in Christ, and keep your conscience clear. Here's some things to remember. Remember, it's the Lord's battle, not yours. Would you say that with me? It's the Lord's battle, not yours. He will help you fight well. It's His battle, not yours. Remember also to cling to your faith. Your everyday belief that God is greater than any obstacle is the faith you must hold on to. God is greater than any obstacle. Would you say that? God is greater than any obstacle. Yes, be determined to cling to your faith. Don't let yourself get distracted from what's really important. Keep your conscience clear. He tells us this over and over. Keep your conscience clear. He tells us to Timothy, like, don't let anything get in the way. I believe in you so much, and I believe God can do great things, Paul's telling Timothy. But keep your conscience clear, because if you're not careful, the enemy is going to sneak in and destroy everything you're trying to do. Keep your conscience clear. Don't allow sin, anger, bitterness, or distractions to keep you from experiencing the greatest joy you can find. Stay tuned to the Spirit and listen to his voice. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature does. So think about that. You know, when you say, well, what I feel like doing is probably the wrong thing. What does the Spirit want me to do? That's usually the second thing that comes into your head. I want to give them a piece of my mind. Don't be so generous. You don't have that much to give away, right? These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all his people. God wants us to be a guardian of our faith. If God's been speaking to your heart about something during this message, I want to pray for you in closing. Would you stand right where you are? God's been speaking to your heart and you say, yes, I needed to hear this today. God was speaking to me. And as you were talking, I just felt the Holy Spirit going, yes, yes, hear that. You need to do it. And I want to pray for you in closing because God is faithful. And he wants us to be a guardian. He wants us to protect our faith, to protect that truth that he's put into us. There are people in our world that are lost and going to hell because we're not living it out as we should. And we need to make sure that we're more determined than ever to be what we have to be in front of those that they see Christ in us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit's prompting and for each one that is standing and for what you're speaking into their hearts. I don't know what it is, but I do know you are faithful and that you will work in each heart and life to help us to be a greater guardian than ever before. Help us as we learn your word and dig into your truth and let it be all that it can be for our sake and for the kingdom. Father, our hearts want to be the example of Christ that they can see Jesus in us and they would want what we have. Help us to treat one another that way, to love one another that way, that the light of Christ would be seen in all we do. Let's all stand together. Father, go with us. Help us to be the guardian. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.